Please lower your head and watch your step while boarding.
Welcome to the Attractions Podcast. You are all clear for dispatch. Have fun.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 84 of the Attractions Podcast. I'm Brittany.
And I'm Seth.
And we're here to talk to you about the latest and greatest theme park news and more, as well as what's going on in our own lives. Sorry, my brain just like... Seth, how have you been this week?
I've been awesome. Thanks so much for asking. I got to go to the parks a couple times this week, including four parks across two resorts in one day. I had some friends who, you know, everyone seems to be traveling all of a sudden. I had friends from Chicago, from New Jersey, people from all over the country who flew down. So I want to give a shout out to my friend Chad, to CM Venom from CostaRadio.com, and also to Rex and the Beast. It was great meeting up with you guys. But yeah, four parks. I got my park hopping in. Went from Islands of Adventure to Epcot, and I just sort of tagged in at Epcot because I had to park hop, you know, to enter the park so that I can then leave the park so I could go over to Hollywood Studios, and then ended up my day by closing Animal Kingdom on its birthday, on Earth Day. So that was a pretty full day. And to top it off, that day I also managed to somehow get myself a RSVP for Velocicoaster. So I didn't get in on the first day. I'll be there on the second day, just about the exact same time as our editor, Matt. I'll be right next to him, right behind him in getting to ride Velocicoaster in just a little more than a week. So,
oh man, I'm so jealous though, thinking about your four parks, two resorts one day.
God, yeah, not recommended, but you know, I'm exhausted. Do what you gotta do.
They would have had to drag me out of there. Like, I'm not walking anymore. This is done. Yep. But that sounds like so much fun. I'm so excited you get to do Velocicoaster.
Bit of advice if you want to do a park hop like that, it helps to have a car. Because as great as Disney transportation is, at the end of the day, you're going to be stuck somewhere that's a half hour, 40-minute bus ride from where you want to be to get home. So yep. Really helps to take your car.
Yeah, for sure. Man, ugh, I'm tired.
And I'm sorry. How was your week? Oh, that was an elegant segue. We will just edit that out.
Well, my week has been pretty good. I got to experience what a virtual concert is like yesterday. Ooh. Yeah, it's very different.
Was it with a virtual reality headset?
I wish. No, oh, okay. I don't have one of those. No, it was, it's called Veeps, V-E-E-P-S. Okay. And to my understanding, the brothers from Good Charlotte created this company because of COVID-19 and trying to get musicians paid for gigs that were canceled. And one of my favorite musicians, if you watch NXT, you'll know her, Poppy. She performs because Triple H loves her stuff. But she did a virtual show on Veeps, and it was $25, and I streamed it to my TV, and it was awesome.
Great.
I never had to leave my couch.
Yay. Didn't have to put up with annoying people spilling beer on you.
And everyone's taller than me usually, so...
Trying to wait to go to the restroom when there's, you know, a song you don't like.
And then you have to decide if you want to hit the merch table before or after the show. A nightmare. So that was very cool. I have to say I prefer the in-person kind of thing, but it was neat to... say like, oh, I went to a concert yesterday at my house.
Cool.
And then that night we watched Mortal Kombat.
Much better than I expected. Yeah. I really enjoyed it.
The scenes, like the fights were just, fights were brutal. Man.
hard R-rated.
Oh,
did
yeah.
Did not pull any punches, pun intended.
I loved it, though. It was so much fun.
Lots of fan service. And, you know, a surprisingly engaging story. They really got into some of the backstory of the characters. I'm ready for a sequel.
The only thing that I hate was that it feels like a part one so hard. Oh, yes. Because they talk about the Mortal Kombat, but then you never get to the Mortal Kombat.
It's very much a setup for a franchise.
Yeah.
But hopefully it'll be more successful than Mortal Kombat Annihilation, which is probably one of the worst sequels of all time.
I will say I watched with a huge fan because Josh loved those games, mm-hmm. and all of the little nods and callbacks, he was like, and then when Scorpion does the get over here, I thought he was going to fall off the couch.
Yep. They brought in the little Easter eggs and fan service at just the right points.
So. Yeah. It was super fun. Yeah. Certainly not like auteur cinema, but it was a great time.
Between that and Godzilla versus Kong, it's been a really good few months for, you know, pulpy genre movies that just deliver what they promise, and that's all we can ask.
Yeah, we tried to go see Mortal Kombat in a theater, but they're literally all sold out in Austin right now, so we just watched it on HBO Max.
Yeah, with the limited capacity, I'm sure.
Tried to make that a good first movie to go back to the theaters on, but
mine's either going to be James Bond or Black Widow.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah, maybe ours will be Black Widow too. Which Falcon and the Winter Soldier this past week? Good,
solid ending. I felt like I had some quibbles with the WandaVision finale, but I feel like Falcon Winter Soldier. I'm sorry, Captain America and Winter Soldier. I feel like they really stuck the landing.
And they dealt with such heavy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That last little soliloquy with Anthony Mackie at the end was just so, it really struck me watching it.
And I got to say, in the last 10 minutes or so, it goes full on Hallmark movie. And I'm okay with that. Usually I really hate when that happens. But like, you know, spoiler alert, when a couple characters go off walking romantically arm in arm, you know, by the ocean together, I really, you know, I just want to see them ride off into the sunset, maybe at least get a cabin, you know, a cottage somewhere.
Yeah. And then Bucky was being like uncle. It was so sweet. Oh, I loved it so much. It was so much fun. Now that we're all caught up on our media consumption for the week, let's get into the news.
News.
All you White Castle fans in Orlando, the wait is over. We finally have a rescheduled opening date, and it's very close.
May 3rd, mark your calendars. The very first White Castle in Florida opening up in Orlando. A long-awaited moment for many people who have, maybe people who have never had White Castle before and want to know what the hype is all about. If you are a Florida person and you have no clue what White Castle is, the closest I can compare it to is Crystal.
Oh, yeah.
Little square hamburgers steamed with onions on tiny buns that are best consumed when you are really drunk and or hungover.
I grew up with Crystal Burgers in my hometown, but I had my first White Castle burger in 2019 when Quinn and I went to Star Wars Celebration Chicago, and it was like a religious experience.
I mean, there is a certain ritual to it. Did you find that the actual flavor, the actual food quality to live up to your dreams?
Is it
the burger that you always wanted?
I got the Impossible Slider.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And they were really good.
All right. Okay. That actually might be more beef in the Impossible Slider than there is.
Oh, no.
I'm just joking. I don't want White Castle's lawyers coming after me. I grew up north, and we had White Castle. And like I said, White Castle was the burger of choice. When you probably, have been out partying too long. What I'm not sure about with this White Castle is it closes at 1 a.m. And I don't know if those hours are going to change or extend. But I believe at least for when they open. They're going to close at 1 a.m. And honestly, that's just when White Castle would start getting busy, from what I remember. So I don't know. I'll see how that works out for them.
So you'll just roll up at 12:59, ready to start the party, and be like, give me the dozen. Oh, I can't wait. Well, if you want to go to the opening, if you're local to Orlando, they're going to have a ribbon cutting at 8 a.m. And it's over in the Village at O-Town West. So give it a shot if you want. I know Matt's been really excited about this to open, so.
He will have to give us his official taste test.
Yes. Over in New York City, a very cool 3-story Harry Potter retail experience is opening this summer on July 3rd.
I have not been to New York in well over a year now, and this is definitely going to be top of my to-do list when I finally get to go back. You know, it's funny how Disney and Universal have been, you know, opening these, you know, big stores, the World of Disney, the new Universal Studio store, and they're very nice, but they're a little bland. They're not, you know, super themed. This is going the exact opposite direction. This almost looks like a theme park inside of a you know, New York City retail establishment, and the detail on some of it, like you know, it literally that statue, the Griffin statue that's at the entrance of Dumbledore's office, looks just like the one that's in the Forbidden Journey queue over at Islands of Adventure. And it also looks like they've got an interactive wand experience. So we're going to have to see how that compares to the wands that are available at Universal.
Mm-hmm. And they also have, I thought you would love this, two multiplayer VR experiences, location-based, one of which where you can ride on brooms.
Yeah, I'm really excited. You know, obviously people have been talking for years about why doesn't Universal build a broom ride. So it looks like this Harry Potter store will have a VR broom experience and kind of beat them to the punch. We don't really know a lot of details yet, and it's not going to, I don't think it's opening right when the store opens. It's going to be later.
Yeah.
I'm volunteering. I want to be first in line to check that one out for sure.
It sounds so much fun. I wonder if it's going to be, because I've done VR in like Vegas and they have these big expanse rooms where you can walk around freely. I wonder if it'll be like that. That's
what I'm hoping, you know, something of the same quality of, well, we don't no longer have the void. You know, if it can be the kind of quality of the Star Wars and Marvel experiences that they did, that would be amazing. I believe there's also kind of an augmented reality experience that if you're part of the Harry Potter fan club.
Yes.
There's a digital app that will allow you to interact with various things inside the store. Personally, the part of the store I'm most excited about is the House of Mina Lima.
Oh, yeah.
Mina Lima are the graphic artists who create all the fonts, the typefaces of all the signage, the newspapers, all the printed material in the Wizarding World. And they used to come to the celebration of Harry Potter that they held at Universal Orlando and set up displays of the artwork they do. And it truly is. It's like fine art, but it's just in the background of these scenes that, you know, gets totally overlooked. So this is the first time in the United States that they've had one of these galleries and kind of boutique shops to take some of that stuff home. And if I had enough money, I would definitely be decorating my library.
Oh, I can already smell the dollars that will slip out of my wallet to buy art from House of Mina Lima. Oh, that's so cool. And this will be the only one in America to date when that opens. So, oh, so cool. They're also going to have a ton of Potter merchandise, as you can imagine. Lots of creature plush, lots of wands, apparel, home goods, all that good stuff. So, it's going
to
be awesome.
We lost the giant Toys R Us that was used to be in New York City. This almost makes up for that.
Yeah. Oh, man. So cool. Send us to New York so we can go cover the opening. In some horrifying nightmare fuel news, the Fairy Godmother has a new look over at Tokyo Disneyland. And I gotta say, I don't really like it much better.
I mean, I think the old look and the new look are each kind of creepy.
Yes.
The new one seems kind of surprised. It's the old one kind of had dead doll's eyes and this kind of fixed small smile. The new face has these bright big eyes and a much bigger smile. Both of them could have stepped straight out of, I don't know, Five Nights at Freddy's or something.
Oh, like, yeah.
I mean, they're both kind of plastic nightmares, but it's kind of an interesting phenomenon that a number of characters that in the Disney theme parks in the United States and in Paris, they would be played by a face character where you would see the actor. Some of those characters, for whatever reasons, are plastic hard shell faces in Tokyo, and they're just kind of nightmare fuel.
Yeah,
we recently looked at how they updated the faces of the Toy Story characters for Hong Kong. And I'm not sure the same fine sculptors may have worked on this one, because I'll say it's better, but I'm not going to go with good. I'll just say better.
I think for me, because here's an example, if you're watching the video version, of what a face character fairy godmother looks like. Mm-hmm. And these ladies right here, like on the left, the old one, she didn't have any pupils. It was just like blue marbles for eyes.
And the nose kind of looked a little like Miss Piggy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now she has pupils, which is great.
It's an improvement.
But there's like a dark abyss void that is her mouth open wide, and
which could possibly, you know, provide sight and or breathing for the performer inside, which would be a good thing.
Yes.
But it does make her look perpetually surprised, like someone just, you know, came up behind her, you know, while she wasn't expecting it.
And she also has real hair, whereas the old version had sculpted hair.
It's new. It's different.
That's for sure. Oh, well, at least you'll have some new nightmare fuel to take photos with if you are able to go to Tokyo Disneyland, because we're not. Over at Disney Springs, the Vegetarian's Paradise Beatrix, the Chicago-based restaurant, is now postponed until further notice, and the area of land will return to green space.
It is a shame that it's postponed. I'm glad that it's not completely canceled.
Same.
Because, I always look forward to more plant-based options on Disney property. First of all, this teaches you with Disney, even though you see concept art, even though there's an announcement, even though there's construction walls, still don't count on it until the doors are open and you're actually, you know, eating there.
Yep.
You know, I'm looking at you, Space 2020 or 220. I'm just glad that they're not leaving a big sand pit for the next, you know, two, three, however many years. At least it'll be a lawn again, and we know we could use a little more shade and greenery in Disney Springs for sure.
I would love for it to turn into like a little mini park area where you can like go and eat outside with trees. And
I really think in, you know, theme parks and places like Disney Springs, the value of places to just sit and lounge is highly underrated.
Yes.
You can't have every time I'm at Universal, at the Hub at the Magic Kingdom, people will lounge on AstroTurf. People are so desperate just to sit on something green that they will do that on AstroTurf, which is not the most pleasant thing to just sit on. Bring on the green space.
Yes, please. If you don't know where Beatrix was supposed to go, it was going to be located right in front of the ill-fated Ample Hills Creamery ice cream shop.
Whole corridor is just cursed.
Well, then, I mean, the donut place opened fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, true. We'll keep our hopes up that it's not cursed and it will come eventually. The Disney Cruise Line has showed off just a taste of the Disney Wish ahead of its grand reveal, which is happening on April 29th. And the renderings look beautiful, I gotta say.
You know, even from their first smallest ships, the atriums in the Disney cruise ships have always been known for, you know, being really spacious, really impressive with their height. But I feel like if the rendering is to be believed, this definitely looks like the largest, most open atrium that Disney's ever done. And that chandelier from the ceiling is an absolute work of art. I think it looks a little like something that Okra used to predict the coming of the Dark Crystal with, but all done in gold. And it's got, you know, with a classic curving staircase going up to the upper levels. This is definitely going to be one of the more elegant, not that the other Disney ships aren't elegant, but this is really just screams class.
Mm-hmm. And that chandelier is in the video that they released, which you can watch on our website if you would like. The chandelier was inspired by the magic that the fairy godmother casts to turn into Cinderella's dress, which I thought was so cool and out of the box for what they could use. And also you have the beautiful bronze statue of Cinderella at the floor.
Interestingly, while Cinderella is inside, on the back of the ship, we've got Rapunzel from Tangled, who is hanging on by her hair while she paints on the name of the boat.
And then on the front will be Captain Minnie Mouse. So it's just girl power all over the ship. Yep. It's set to sail in summer 2022. I think they're going to release more details about itineraries and such on the 29th. So if you are looking to plan something for this brand new ship, keep an eye out for those announcements.
Yeah, I'm going to be watching the live stream.
And same.
I'm very excited to see everything they have in store for this.
Yeah, can't wait. Speaking of Disney cruises, Disney Cruise Line has announced vaccination requirements for UK cruisers.
Mm-hmm. And I think these requirements we're going to see when cruises start from the United States, very similar requirements. I think this is kind of a preview of what's to come for Americans.
Yeah. So basically the announcement is that a full virus vaccination, like proof of it, will be required for all passengers ages 18 and older. And those under 18 will have to provide a negative COVID-19 test at their own expense prior to boarding. And if you don't have insurance, they can be expensive. So keep that in mind if you're planning a trip.
Though I know here in Orlando there are places that you can go still to get a free COVID test. The interesting thing is that in addition to, if you're over 18, having to provide proof of a complete vaccination, and I believe by British health standards that means 7 days past your second dose if you're doing a two dose, it also is going to require everyone to take another COVID test, a rapid test, while they're there at the terminal. And that one will be at Disney's expense. Yeah. So kind of a double layer of protection, both vaccine proof and making sure everyone's been tested.
Yep.
And of course, those are going to apply to the employees as well.
And then you'll still have to do face masks and social distancing while you're on the ship. And then use the apps, do online check-in, all that jazz.
Let's be honest. Cruise ships, even before COVID, were notorious as places where diseases could spread easily. Mm-hmm. So social distancing and mask wearing and lots of hand washing is probably a great idea. Even 10, 20 years from now, that'll probably still be a good idea on a cruise ship.
Yes.
But I am jealous of those Brits who are going to be some of the first people getting back on a Disney cruise ship.
Soon. Yeah. It seems very, very soon for the rest of us. Walt Disney World cast members got kind of a whammy this past week. They were gifted a one free night stay at a Disney hotel, Walt Disney World. And then right after receiving that announcement, they found out that they were blocked for an entire month from visiting all four parks.
Yeah.
It's kind of rough.
Yeah, I think this is a matter of optics. If they had pitched it as, hey, you know, we have to maintain capacity for our paying guests. You know, we're sorry we have to block you out. To make up for it, we're giving you a free staycation so you can hang out by the pool and eat at the hotel restaurant.
Yeah.
If they had pitched it that way, it probably would have gotten a better reception. Instead, it kind of came across as, oh, come and stay in the park. Oh, never mind. Sorry, you can't come in.
To me, it felt like, oh, look at this shiny thing over here. We're giving you a hotel stay. Don't look at the blockout calendar.
Yeah. Probably not great optics. You know, it's something, because I can't remember a time when cast members got a free hotel stay. Deeply discounted hotels, that happens.
Yeah.
But a completely free night is... So it makes me wonder whether they have softness in their occupancy, if they must have rooms that need filling if they're able to give them away free.
Yeah.
And I really think that, you know, maybe we're looking right now at kind of this last slow time that we're going to see before we go into what'll be a busy summer and also then a busy 50th anniversary season this fall.
Yeah. And then comparing it to other cast member blockout calendars for the international parks, it's wide open for them. So it seems like Walt Disney World is just preparing for the masses.
Yeah.
And they can't really accommodate cast members coming in for free on top of all of those guests as well.
You know, I got to say, Disney might be doing something right, because going back and forth over the last couple weeks, we had this sort of extended spring break, going back and forth from Disney to Universal several times in a week. It was hard to get, as an annual pass holder, a park pass reservation for a lot of the Disney parks. But when I got into the parks, I found actual wait times for the rides were all well under an hour, and I never felt, you know, too overwhelmed by the crowds. Whereas at Universal, you know, there were a lot of days they hit capacity and, you know, closed the gates by like 11 a.m. And if you managed to get in there, it felt busy. You know, it didn't feel like a pandemic. It felt like it was a busy spring break. Disney is definitely making a choice to, you know, limit the number of people in the park, which is definitely paying off for the people who are actually in the parks.
Yeah. Good news for those folks in Florida needing employment post COVID-19. Walt Disney World has begun mass hiring once again.
Yeah, this is interesting because, you know, they laid off tens of thousands of people. People were furloughed for, you know, a year or more. And this indicates that they've called back pretty much all the people that they're going to be able to call back. You know, a lot of people who were furloughed went off, moved out of town, or found different careers. And so now they're opening the doors and saying, hey, come on down to casting. We got job openings. And that's job openings with a $14 minimum per hour starting salary, which here in Orlando, that's pretty good. That's I think, the highest of all the local parks.
Yeah, when I worked at the parks, which was not that long ago, I made $10.90 an hour plus tips. So $14 would have made the difference in a couple of roommates that I would have had to have.
Yeah. It shows, you know, between this and also the, you know, new Disney look, and then becoming more inclusive, kind of casting the net wider, for hiring, you know, that indicates that they are looking for the job market to start tightening and for them to have to be, you know, more competitive, to attract back the workforce they're going to need, for the crowds that they expect. That's definitely a good sign for Florida's economy.
Mm-hmm. I hope that they start calling back everyone, because I still have friends that are on furlough. But man, can't wait. These new roles that they are hiring for, by the way, if you're interested, are in attractions, custodial merchandise, quick service food and beverage, and lifeguards. And they also have full-time positions for housekeeping, and the rest of the roles are part-time. But I've worked in merchandise and I guess technically Pirates League would have been Cosmo, but it was always fun. The people were nice. Work was hard, but the perks are good when you have them too.
Yeah. So if you're one of the people who you know, still looking for work in Florida, head on over to Disney.
Yeah, do it. Yeah. All right, Seth.
Yes.
This one's all you.
So this was, you know, I feel like every time that there's one of these kind of limited time things, whether it's the you know, Disney reopening their ticket sales or whatever, we hear about computer crashes and people spending a long time. This was my day the other day when unexpectedly out of nowhere, a select number of people got emails announcing Jurassic World Velocicoaster annual pass holder previews at Islands of Adventure starting on May 2nd. So it's like Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And this really, you know, obviously we've all been talking about when this could happen, but it's sort of just dropped in people's emails out of nowhere. Luckily, some people were nice enough to share those links on Twitter because some of us never got the emails announcing it. And, you know, it happens every time there's one of these things, it just becomes a free-for-all with people hitting the server errors, trying to submit forms over and over again. It's, you know, it's just, I feel like it's just luck of the draw who's able to actually get in on one of these. And I got lucky.
Yeah.
So I'll be going on the 3rd. But, you know, it first of all, it shows that, you know, that Universal knows their annual pass holders are very dedicated and very opinionated and very prone to talk on social media. So if they're having these kind of previews a full month, you know, more than a full month before the ride's officially opening, they've got to be pretty confident that this thing's ready to go. So that's really exciting. And it also means that after they can do these annual pass holder previews and then have a whole month of soft opening with the general public, so that when opening day comes, you know, first of all, everyone doesn't have to show up on that opening day because they got a chance to ride it the week before or the month before. So hopefully we won't have 8-hour long lines.
Velocitywatch.
And it, you know, it means that the team will be able to work the bugs out. You know, Hagrid's a great ride. They just did not have enough time to just cycle it with people to test it, you know, to get practiced at keeping it running.
Yeah.
And they got a lot of backlash when it officially opened without, you know, really being ready. So they're obviously with Velocicoaster, they are going the complete opposite direction and making sure they've got plenty of lead time to make sure it's good to go on June 10th. So I'm excited to hopefully bring you my review of it the next time I'm on.
I can't wait. I wish we could get a ride cam of you that we could play.
So this is one they've built lockers supposedly into the queue. So you can have your camera in the queue, have your cell phone. But they're going to make us lock everything up before we actually ride. Maybe I can get some glasses, like, you know, glasses.
Oh yeah. The glasses, the camera and
spy cam. Yeah.
Yeah. There were also, I'm not sure what happened, to be honest, but there was a team member preview sign up as well. And a bunch of team members signed up for it. And then Universal emailed all of them and were like, just kidding.
Oops.
Sorry, it's not actually ready for a team member preview.
Every time that there's some kind of online sign up, something goes wrong. There's got to be a better way.
Yeah. They did send out an email saying that team members will be notified once there is a preview for them. And I hope that there is one, because I know people were disappointed that they were like, oh, I got a spot. And then the rug got ripped out from under them right after.
But yeah, this is really like the first big e-ticket ride to open in Central Florida since the pandemic. And it's definite sign that we're getting a little closer to normal, whatever normal is or was.
Right, exactly. Some unfortunate news over in Japan. Universal Studios Japan closed today.
Can't catch a break.
Temporarily due to the state of emergency in Osaka Prefecture. So not even a month after, or a little over a month, they opened Super Nintendo and it's closed again.
Yeah, and this is also not a great sign for the Summer Olympics that are supposed to be right around the corner.
Yeah,
it's just a shame that, you know, all of the work that went into Super Nintendo World, and it feels like it, you know, it can't even be open for a few weeks in a row before it gets closed down again.
Yeah, they have no end date as to when the parks could reopen and the state of emergency could be over. I think in the past, the states of emergency issued in Japan were 2 weeks long, mm-hmm. and they would check again after the 2 weeks. So
I'm increasingly thinking that I'm going to ride Mario Kart in Hollywood before I get it out to Japan.
I think the same thing, which is fine. But man, it's just sad to see that they can't catch a break.
Yeah, it's such a shame. So yeah, our thoughts are with all the employees there and the folks in Osaka.
Yeah, and that is it for news in the
That's
queue.
That's all. We're done. What? That's it?
Heck froze over because Disney did something that I did not expect them to do. And that's what we're going to talk about for the main attraction.
It's time for the main attraction.
In this corner, we have the infamous, the unseen Baby Groot bipedal robot that I told you guys about a hot minute ago. And I never thought that they would release this footage. And one day, a TechCrunch article came out about Project Kiwi, which is Baby Groot's project name. And you get to see, it's real. They showed it off.
Now, this is a bipedal, semi-autonomous robot that's able to walk around in a really adorable manner.
Right?
It's not completely, it's not wireless. It's got some cords. So obviously there's some maybe battery or power issues, or maybe it needs a control,
has
a CPU offboard.
Has a thing on his head to keep him upright.
Yes. Because otherwise, apparently he would topple over. And there is some adorable footage of there, the prototype of them chasing after it with some eggshell crates to try to keep it from getting damaged. I don't know if anyone else remembers, a few years back at the in Disney's Hollywood Studios, they had a meet and greet with Star-Lord and a little I don't know if it was an animatronic or a puppet.
I think it was a puppet,
a little animated Baby Groot. And I didn't think they could do something even cuter, but the fact that this can just get up and walk around, that definitely gives him an edge.
Oh, man. When I saw this during the Look Inside Disney Parks presentation, it was amazing to me because it's child-sized and it was mm-hmm. walking by itself. There wasn't any person with a remote control in the background. Like, if you've watched the behind the scenes for The Mandalorian, you would see with Grogu, they would have like a giant RC remote. This guy was just walking around, waving, balancing on one leg. It was just incredible. And I think the hardest thing that the animatronics have to accomplish these days is capturing that light behind the eyes, you know? Mm-hmm. And this guy, I believe he's real.
I am really curious if they had any help from engineers from Honda. Because his movement, his walking gait, really reminds me of Asimo, who was the bipedal robot who was about chest high, and he used to perform at Interventions at Disneyland. You know, this Baby Groot almost looks like a miniaturized version of Osimo. So I wonder if there's any crossover in the design team.
They did have some folks from Boston Dynamics work on this. Right. So if you don't know who Boston Dynamics is, you know they're robot dogs.
Dogs, yep.
So
that are adorable and also really terrifying.
Exactly. But this has been a longstanding project called Project Kiwi, where Disney is trying to create small scale, free roaming robotic actors to play the smaller characters that are more kid sized. This is just skinned with a Baby Groot. So this isn't specifically Groot, it could apply to anything. Like if they wanted to make a Mike Wazowski robot, they could, in theory.
And hopefully this will only be used for characters that are too small or have proportions that could not be performed by a human, because we have little people who are actors in the Orlando parks who still need jobs. So
yes,
know, we already got rid of the Barney show. We don't want to get rid of any other more opportunities for them to work.
And this is just the latest in the series of Disney trying to keep pushing the envelope when it comes to animatronics. Those of you who...
Hopefully, though, it will turn out better than the fire-breathing dragon.
Listen, I have wondered what they did with that thing since 2012 when New Fantasyland opened and I was living in Virginia watching videos at home. And they casually show off, if you watch this video, we have it linked in the article on our website. They show where that thing is. It's just hanging in Imagineering.
I mean, apparently that Imagineering warehouse, I'm sure Buzzy is, if you climbed on top of the
he's riding the dragon.
Buzzy is riding on the dragon. He's taking the Lost Ark of the Covenant with him, along with Walt's frozen head. Yeah, they've got everything just buried away there, all those great ideas that, you know, the alien from Alien Encounter, I'm sure he's hanging out.
Man, that thing is scary too. And then those of you who were at D23 Expo 2017 got to meet Jake, the autonomous droid rolling around that we still haven't seen any kind of thing like in Galaxy's Edge, except for the one time that they play tested R2 at Disneyland
for a hot minute.
Yeah, for like 2 weeks and then never again. And then we have more advanced AIs. I'm bitter about it. But this makes me wonder, are they finally trying to figure out how to give us aliens and droids and things without having puppeteers to stand awkwardly 6 feet away from them? Or, you know, it just makes me wonder. And then we haven't even seen the Spider-Man stunttronic yet. And that's going to be interesting.
My only fear is that the better these devices get, the more sophisticated and expensive they are, and the more they will need a team of cast members surrounding it to prevent people from trying to kick it or punch it or knock it over.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I've seen guests in the theme parks. This is why we can't have nice things. This is why we have a barrier in front of the Millennium Falcon to keep people from jumping on it. So what kind of barrier are we going to have around Baby Groot?
A bubble. He's going to be in like one of those hamster balls.
I just fear that it's going to be another one of those things that appears at a media event in a very controlled situation and, you know, is never really seen by the general public.
Yeah. One thing that they are working on with Project Kiwi, if you read the TechCrunch article, is that they are trying to figure out how to stabilize its balance, because in Kiwi's legs, he has balancing things, technical things. I am not a robotics person, so I don't know the proper nomenclature, but he's able to keep his balance. Whether you stand and pose for a picture or if you put extra weight on him, like putting your hand around him or on his shoulder, he can offset that balance, but he may not withstand, say, a five-year-old going, "Oh my God, it's Baby Groot," and then running like a linebacker straight toward him for a hug. So trying to stabilize themselves and anticipate that extra force is something that they're working on, which sounds insane.
They're going to have to program a fetal position mode where it just curls up to a ball, tries to protect its delicate circuitry.
Oh my goodness. But this is, I find this to be really exciting. I would love to see this little dude with Cosmic Rewind, but that's not in canon because it's Big Groot.
No, we're, yeah,
for that
we're,
ride.
Is it teen Groot or is it young adult Groot? Is it?
See, that's something I wonder because concept art has adult Groot.
Oh, okay.
So I'm not sure. But canonically, it should be like teen Groot or young adult Groot. But I don't know, man. I'm so surprised that they showed this, but I think it's even funnier that they showed this and not the lightsaber.
Right.
Because that was the other thing that they showed off.
Well, you want to take bets on which one will actually appear in a park first?
No, I would lose.
Whichever you pick, you'll probably lose.
Exactly. But, oh man, this is just so exciting. When Josh D'Amaro said, like, we're working on so much stuff, you never know what we're going to do. They're literally creating believable robot characters for the parks. So, oh, it's just so exciting. I can't wait to see this thing in action one of these days. But
Westworld, right around the corner.
Listen, Westworld was cool until the robots started gaining self-awareness. But don't expect to see this anytime soon. This is still a work in progress, mm-hmm. very much so.
Yep.
So
yep.
This isn't going to be coming in the next year, in the next 2 years, probably not for like 5+, I would guess.
I'm still waiting to see the Muppet Mobile Labs come back. Anyone else remember that one?
Yeah.
The animatronic Bunsen Honeydew and Beaker that used to roll around, do a little show in Epcot. They haven't been making any appearance. That's the problem with these things. They are great, but they require a lot of maintenance. They require a lot of labor to keep them up and running. So fingers crossed they can make a Groot that will stand the test of time.
Yes. And that's everything we had for you this week. I'm sure we will get the full down low on the Velocicoaster next week.
I can't wait.
Or wait, will you be on next week?
Well, actually, so I will not. I will be on next week, which is the 2nd, and I will be back on the 9th. But then I will be taking a couple weeks off, and we might have some guest hosts. So
yes.
Hopefully, they will not be too entertaining.
and replace
you. Permanently replace me. But on May 16th and May 23rd, I will be at the Orlando International Fringe Theater Festival.
Ooh.
Yes, it's very exciting. It's 2 weeks of theater and live entertainment, and I will be seeing 75 or
Whoa.
So shows. Yeah, so I will not be able to be here, but I'm sure either Matt or another exciting guest host will be able to take care of you guys in my absence.
Yes, I'll make everyone draw straws and see who has to put up with me for an hour. And this is the part of the show where I would share some listener thank yous for the folks who have signed up for Club or VIP and our subscription. But there weren't any this week.
No, thank you.
No, thank you.
No, thank you.
If you would like for us to thank you, you can Please. Sign up for one of the 4 Attractions Magazine subscription options. But if you sign up for Club or VIP, that is the only way you're going to get a shout out thank you on this podcast. So that's that on that.
And I am here to remind you to please head on over to Apple Podcasts. Please rate us 5 stars.
Please
leave a review, one, hopefully a positive one. if not, keep that opinion to yourself.
Yeah, we don't need that negativity.
Make sure you like us, subscribe us, follow us, whatever terminology they're using these days, but just share the word so that more people can find Attractions Magazine. And speaking of finding us, on the interwebs, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at S. Kuberski or at the UG Series. And you can pick up a copy of my books at theunofficialguides.com. And Brittany, where can they find you?
They can find me at Brittany Tuttle. That's BRITTANITUTTLE. Yes, it's spelled funny. On Twitter and Instagram, as well as every day at attractionsmagazine.com, at attractions on Twitter, at attractions magazine on Instagram, and youtube.com/attractionsmagazine, where you spent the last 51 minutes with us for the live show.
But it flew so fast, it felt like only 50.
Right? Just 50. That extra minute was just the blink of an eye. And until next week, I hope you guys stay safe, wear your mask, get vaccinated if you haven't already, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.